almost worth saying is Question Time Review. Question Time, the 3rd of February, 2022. The panel, Crispin Blunt, Conservative. Rosina Alencar, Labour. Robin Shattuck, Imperial College. Victor Abadowale, NHS Confederation. Tim Stanley, Journalist. The venue, Tottenham. In last week's review, eagle-eyed readers spotted eyed confused Alison Pearson of The Telegraph with Alison Phillips, Daily Mirror, and declared comedian Colin Crompton to be Colin Compton. These things come in threes. I also assured Puffins that Putin had no intention of invading the Ukraine. Be afraid. Advertised for weeks in advance as an anti-vaxxer special, the programme began with increases in the cost of living. As a child who grew up in a home with just one electric heater, began Rosina Alencar ludicrously. Crispin was enthusiastic about cutting people's energy bills, then taking the money off them later on anyway, through a compulsory cut and loans system unveiled by the government today. He also referenced a £150 handout for council taxpayers in the A to D bands, but omitted to mention the gross injustice meted out to the Band E community, who pay more council tax, and pay more for energy too, as they've got bigger houses. Very angry face. Rosina mentioned her frontline NHS work and added to something about Boris's Jimmy Savile insult aimed at Starmer. Now she mentioned it, with his portering, Jimmy Savile was an NHS frontline worker too. Tim Stanley moved the conversation back to the rising price of energy, which he blamed on a lack of investment in nuclear and fracking shale, and added to the Tories' Labour-like green social policies. An arse in the audience mentioned climate crisis. Another wanted the energy sector to be held account for making a profit. Victor Abadale agreed, suggesting a windfall tax on energy companies, most of which have recently gone bankrupt. He also suggested stopping dividends being paid to private sector pension funds, while omitting to mention his own numerous and massive public sector pensions, which you pay him out of your wages. Tim Stanley, journalist, is a columnist at Andrew Neil's pro-Ghislaine Maxwell Spectator magazine. Robin Shattuck, Imperial College, is an immunologist, hopelessly compromised by his commercial links with China, as detailed in a previous QT review here. Victor Abadale, NHS Confederation, is a ludicrous Quangoland troffer. An addendum to the 11th of March 2021 QT review lists several dozen of Victor's appointments. Since then, he will have added more. Crispin Jeremy Rupert Blunt, Conservative, is MP for Reigate and Chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee. Having got that out of the way, we are left with Rosina Alencar, Labour, Shadow Cabinet Minister for Mental Health. In a lengthy London Standard 2016 piece, when Rosina Alencar was a candidate in the Tooting by-election brought about by sitting MP Sadiq Khan's elevation to Mayor of London, Rosamund Irwin began, a junior doctor. Alencar works in A&E at St George's Hospital, the constituency's biggest employer, where government cuts are hitting hard and the row over junior doctors' contracts has hurt morale. The article went on to claim, since medical school was unaffordable, she opted instead to study medical biochemistry at Brunel. This is a barefaced lie. When 45-year-old Rosina was a student in the late 1990s, higher education was funded by the softest of soft loans, with student grants not being abolished by Labour until 1999, when Rosina would have been 21. Tuition fees were not introduced until 1998 and were set at a bargain price of £1,000 a year. The real reason Rosina didn't go to medical school was because of her miserable exam results. Upon leaving Grey Coat Hospital Girls' School in Westminster, she had gained only 2 E's and a U at A-level. A poor return for Grey Coats, a Church of England school with strict admittance policies, including long-term regular worship in the Church of England, they had been generous to admit Rosina, given her Pakistani Muslim father and Polish Catholic mother. Ms. Alencar was eventually accepted to study medicine at Cambridge, aged 24 in 2001, She was provisionally registered as a doctor in August 2006 and fully registered in November 2009. She studied at St. Lucy's College as a mature postgraduate student with her Brunel degree substituting for the A and A Star Science A levels required for admission. St. Lucy's course requirements also strongly recommend obtaining medical healthcare experience as a paid volunteer worker and the shadowing of medical professionals. Subsequently, Rosina was to make much of her volunteering in the Middle East for the Red Cross. She claims to have worked with Palestinian refugees in Lebanese camps and with the victims of flooding in Pakistan. But the volunteering seems to have included shadowing the photographer's lens as a model. The Evening Standard interview explained the prospective tooting MP had posed for Adidas trainers and Weller hair campaigns to fund her aid work, and a swimwear shoot was actually a makeup test. My friend's a makeup artist and wanted to do a blog about it, staying on underwater. I've never been a swimwear model. However, the Daily Asian Age knew different. While Rosina was a volunteer for the Red Cross, she was earning money as a swimwear model. In one shoot, she could be seen immersed in a swimming pool in Dubai, wearing a white bikini, full makeup and colourful chunky jewellery. It was a way of paying her bills while she was working as a volunteer, says a friend. Rosina has also modelled for sportswear firm Adidas and posed for various hair and makeup shoots. Swimwear model or not swimwear model? Decide for yourselves here and here. In fact, Aline Khan worked as a model for many years and was on the books of at least two modelling agencies, Fame and E Models. After winning the Tooting by-election and while being a qualified doctor, Rosina went on to make much play of her continuing role as a doctor, sometimes conflating volunteering with working. Despite government cuts hitting hard at A&E, at St George's Hospital, Dr. Rosina is very well paid. On October 13, 2021, Rosina was paid £525 for an 8-hour shift. That's £66.62 an hour. On the 23rd, £665 for a 10-hour shift, £66.50 an hour. 31st of October, also £665 for 10 hours. This is a second job. Altogether, in 2001, Rosina declared £10,893 in income from St George's for working 171 hours in 18 shifts at an average of £63.70 an hour. She was also paid £572 for one 10-hour day covering for holiday leave at a GP's surgery in Wimbledon. As we shall see, Rosina has an even better paid third job in healthcare, but first a note on Rosina's declarations of interest. MPs are supposed to declare their outside interests, including second jobs and donations, within 28 days of receipt. In autumn 2018, Rosina declared 8 payments, all many months late and all at once. Why? Because she'd been caught and was being investigated by the House of Commons Committee on Standards. On the 18th of October, she disclosed 7 payments, 2 of them 8 months late, 3 of them 5 months late, and 2 of them 1 month late. The payments, again from the hospital, totaled £3,800 for 61 hours of work. A week later, she registered another late payment, this time of £420 for 7 hours, £60 an hour. Looking through Dr. Rosina's registered interests, we find an even more lucrative third job. She is regularly paid £2,000 for 22 hours work, £90.90 an hour, for completing A&E medical reports for victims of violent crimes, i.e. filling in forms for the compo claim industry. Incidentally, as an aside, if you think cricket is full of weapons-grade racists following the Yorkshire County Cricket Club hoo-ha, the chairman of Essex using the N-word and the chairman of Middlesex having to apologise for his swatty Indians remark, hang your head in shame. On the 14th of July 2019, purely out of the goodness of their own hearts and with no ulterior motive, the England and Wales Cricket Board donated 2 tickets and hospitality worth £948 to Rosina when she was Shadow Minister of Sport. Likewise, the Football Association, who donated 2 tickets to a football match worth £332.40 on the 30th of January 2019. Also included in Rosina's late submissions was £4,200 from the Qatari Ministry of Foreign Affairs for a 5-day jolly to the Gulf State. This isn't the only Middle East freebie that the good doctor has been on. On the 30th of July 2019, at Dr. Rosina, thundered via Twitter, "I travelled to Palestine earlier this year, working as a doctor, with the aim of finding out what issues Palestinians face with accessing hospital treatment." This refers to her medical aid visit to Palestine and Israel the previous April, in which she worked as a doctor during a 5-day jolly in which flights, accommodation, food and transport, costing £1,469.30, was paid for by medical aid for Palestinians. She continued, "I saw some truly horrific cases, Inc., of Palestinian babies being born prematurely, but because of permit issues, mothers were sent back to Gaza shortly after birth, with some babies dying alone in hospital. I spoke at length with many news outlets. The Guardian and the Today Prog did good pieces on this. Kids undergoing chemotherapy, sick, can't travel with parents because they're deemed a security risk. Besides wondering what chemotherapy is, one ponders how many Jewish children are treated in Palestinian hospitals and, if Israel is such a nasty place, why Palestinian children aren't treated in nearby Egypt, Syria or Lebanon. Come to think of it, one also wonders of the Medical Aid for Palestinians, MAP, organisation. On its website, MAP strays away from medical aid and working as doctors to comment on Israel's systematic discrimination and fragmentation of Palestinian society and healthcare. Elsewhere, they put to one side the bandages and iodine to rant of the systematic detention of Palestinians for extended periods without trial or charge in violation of international law, forms part of a coercive environment in which compromises a range of abusive Israeli practices that discriminate against Palestinians, fragment Palestinian society, and facilitate the presence of Jewish settlements." If puffins are concerned by MAP, so are the Charity Commission for England and Wales. The month before Dr. Rosanna enjoyed MAP's largesse, it was revealed that some of MAP's annual income is used for political propaganda. They have links to funding NGOs tied to the Popular Front of the Liberation of Palestine, claim Israel is to blame for breast cancer in Palestinian women, and promote anti-Semitic works such as the videos of former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke. In response, the bedwetters of the Charity Commission urged MAP to take care to heed regulatory guidelines. Another foreign trip was to the border between Bangladesh and Myanmar to work in a refugee camp for 5 days in October. October 2018. The £1,865 cost was paid for by More United Limited. More United is a limited company, not a charity. The nature of its business is declared as being political, not philanthropic. More United takes its name from a quote by the late Joe Cox MP, but has no other association with her. In anticipation of the 2017 general election, More United crowdfunded on behalf of 49 candidates of various parties, including Rosina Allen Khan. The only Conservative on the list was Puffin's favourite Anna Sowerby. They also endorsed Allen Khan in the 2019 election. During the jolly to Bangladesh, Rosina took the side of the Muslim Rohingya in their conflict with the Myanmar authorities, taking time out from working in the refugee camp. On October 6, 2018, Rosina tweeted a photo of her relaxed self dressed in T-shirt and jeans. The other covered ladies were segregated from the gentlemen present as part of a team captioned by Rosina as being an Islamic Relief Worldwide Community Clinic. According to Wiki, in 2014, Islamic Relief Worldwide were banned from Israel because of their links with Hamas. In 2016, they were banned from the UAE because of their links with the Muslim Brotherhood. Also in 2016, HSBC Bank severed its links with the charity over concerns cash meant for humanitarian aid could potentially end up with terrorist groups abroad. 2020, Islamic Relief Worldwide trustee Heshmat Khalifa had to resign after, careful now, Amber Alert, calling Egypt's President Sisi a pimp son of the Jews, and referring to Israeli authorities, careful now, Red Alert, as grandchildren of monkeys and pigs. Ms. Rosina did well to rendezvous with Islamic Relief Worldwide in Bangladesh, as the government there have been trying to ban them from refugee camps after, again according to Wiki, alleging funds were used to preach Islam, construct mosques, encourage radicalism and fund militants. At least the good doctor gets some positive publicity from gin-soaked Greg Smorgasbord pleasurer Fatty Fawkes' sister publication, The Sun. In an article bashing Labour MPs for claiming IT products on expenses, Rupert Murdoch's organ notes, but their party colleague Rosina Allen-Khan showed them up by securing a donation of laptops worth £10,000 and handing them to schools. The 44 computers were distributed to primary schools across her South London constituency of Tooting. Laptops that will be delivered to schools by chauffeuring a logistics company, Smart City Prestige. Excellent PR that no one could possibly be cynical about. Or could they? Further reference to Dr. Alin Khan's register of interests shows that the £10,119.56 worth of laptops were donated to her by Henley Homes on the 19th of January 2021. Furthermore, on the 29th of January 2020, Henley Homes had also donated £5,000 to her, with another payment of £5,000 being made on the 28th of February 2020. Interesting. According to documents lodged at Companies House, the nature of Henley Homes' business is development of building projects. On their website, Henley self-describe as an efficient, progressive and design-led development company with a reputation for creating outstanding and award-winning homes in and around the capital. At the moment, the company has two directors, the progressive Kashif Zamir Usmani and the progressive Tariq Zamir Usmani, and yes, City Smart Prestige is part of the Henley Homes Group. In the company's latest submitted accounts, dated the 31st of December 2020, auditors Simmons Gainsford LLP are somewhat lukewarm and conclude no instances of material non-compliance were identified. However, the likelihood of detecting irregularities, including fraud, is limited by the inherent difficulty in detecting irregularities, the effectiveness of the entity's controls, and the nature, timing, and extent of the audit procedures performed. Irregularities that result from fraud might be inherently more difficult to detect than irregularities that result from error. As explained above, there is an unavoidable risk that material misstatements may not be detected even though the audit has been planned and performed in accordance with ISAS UK. The explained above includes references to reviewing documentation relating to health, safety and fire regulation compliance and challenging assumptions made by management in their specific accounting policies and estimates. Also, challenging assumptions made by management regarding the recovery of balances which remain outstanding, challenging assumptions regarding changes to the value of investment property, identifying unusual or unexpected movements in account balances which may be indicative of fraud, evaluating the underlying business reasons for unusual transactions, etc., 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 etc. The developer's charitable arm is called Better Community Business Network, or BCBN. BCBN's progressive charity events include fundraisers for the West London Islamic Centre Redevelopment Fund. Previously, the fund's website offered an opportunity for fine dining, entertainment and networking with keynote speakers that included then Tooting MP Sadiq Khan and the aforementioned Tariq Usmani. All proceeds were to be donated to the West London Islamic Centre Redevelopment Project and would count as Sadaqah Jariyah, the religious obligation placed upon Muslims to give to Muslim charities. Further to that, BCBN claims to have raised over £1.3 million for causes such as the Muslim Fostering Project, the Refugees Council and the Muslim Youth Helpline. There is much more on Ms. Alin Khan and her fellow travellers in enriched Tooting, but space forbids. In conclusion, she's a particular type of Labour Member of Parliament for a particular type of Labour seat, both best avoided like the plague.